The Highest in the Room is proud to be sponsored and lit by the CWCB Expo. In its 10th year, the show has helped build a legalized cannabis industry and is a leading forum for the entire supply chain, seed to sale. At their events, many mergers, acquisitions, and deals are signed because of the exposure they provide to participating companies, sponsors, and brands. The CWCB Expo continues to support and stand shoulder to shoulder with the brave, courageous, and committed who have helped shape the cannabis industry, evolving through many phases of stigma, volatility, and legalization.
This is Kim B, recording from the weed capital of the world, New York City. After almost 100 years of prohibition, the government finally loosens the stranglehold on cannabis. As we navigate a new industry of innovation, technology, and greed, there are a few cannabis professionals who have pushed through the doors of opportunity. I talk to them unfiltered and uncut. We get the real story from the highest in the room. My guest today needs absolutely no introduction. This human has jumped onto the scene of cannabis and has really made a huge impact. Please introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about your business.
So my name is Klaus Marte and I co-founded Combud. It's a dispensary in the Lower East Side where we look forward to hiring people that have been justice impacted, whether they've been directly impacted by the justice system or have a family member that's been in the system. Mainly through the prohibition of cannabis.
And you also have another a brother business.
Yes, I have. I would say a sister business. I never heard it as a brother business. Combody. So Combody, I've been running for a little bit over 10 years now. Same thing, same concept. We hire people that have been justice impacted. We also go into Rikers Island, to the juvenile facilities, train the inmates in there, and give direct opportunities for individuals like reentering back into society with paid internship to work with us right away. So that's what I've been doing for a very long time, alongside with like advocating for a whole bunch of, criminal justice stuff,
And you yourself are justice involved and you have served time. Can you tell me a little bit about your story and your journey?
Yeah, so I served a total of 6 years in prison. I've been in and out of the system since I was a kid. The first time I was arrested, I was 13 for selling cannabis, and then 15, then 18, 19, and multiple times. I've been probably arrested about a dozen times, and every time I got caught I had cannabis on me. So I was mainly stopped and frisked because of cannabis, and sometimes they found other stuff on me, and I ended up being in that revolving door in the system, and it was very hard to get out. I didn't really see a path or imagine any type of path of legalization or, getting into the industry in a legal way. I thought I was a drug dealer forever. I thought I was gonna go in and come up with a different way of not getting caught, and that's what happened every single time. But the last time I was incarcerated, I came up with a business plan while I was in solitary confinement of fitness, and Combody, and that all derived from my personal experience where I lost over 70 pounds in 6 months in a prison cell, and I helped over 20 inmates lose over 1,000 pounds combined. So I took that same concept and I said I was going to start a prison style boot camp called Combody Today.
I love it. And I had the great honor of teaching a class at your facility. And it was absolutely amazing. So the dispensary is downstairs and the gym is upstairs, and you have really been a leader and in the intersection of cannabis and wellness. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
The last time you were in jail, where was that and how long were you there?
So I spent about a year in Rikers Island before I was sentenced, and I was sentenced to 7 years. And then I went up to upstate Coxsackie area, Greene, and then ended up finishing my prison term in Lakeview Correctional Facility, which is a shock program. They give you the opportunity when it's a nonviolent offense. And so I got caught with drugs and they allowed me to save 3 years from my sentence. So I was released in 4 years. I came home, you know, relentless. I didn't want to stop, you know, until I achieved my goal. And I'm still not stopping.
It's so impressive. Can you tell us a little bit about Rikers Island? There's a lot of stories and a lot of people advocating to close Rikers once and for all, but I'd love to hear it from you.
Yeah, I was also part of that movement in 2016 with Glenn Martin and the Justice League and trying to close Rikers Island. And they basically in 2019 is when they signed some paperwork. Bill de Blasio said that they had a 10-year plan to close it. My personal experience in Rikers Island, it was not a nice place. It was disgusting. It was totally different. You know, gangs ran the whole place. If you were not part of a gang, you probably was going to be part of, you know, a race, you know, whether you were Black or Latino. And if you were not part of that crew, then you were probably gonna be bullied around. So Rikers is a unique place. It's a different world. You enter there, it's a different set of rules, different mentality. I spend a year and a half of my life in there in that place, and it's just it's dirty. I remember going in the first time I went in, I was 18, and I remember, in the middle of the night, I woke up and it was just about 1,000 mice running in the dorm. Like, it was like a horror movie, you know, and you didn't even want to step on the ground because they're jumping on your bed. And it was just disgusting. We made the time go by, you know, and I'm not saying everything was evil there. You know, the inmates, you know, build a camaraderie with each other. We play, you know, board games, dominoes, card games, and stuff like that. Oh, and we smoked a lot of weed that, you know, I was fortunate enough to sneak in and not get caught. that's how I spent my time. You know, I was literally like smoking bud in my cell, and I had to stand on top of a toilet. And there was like a little vent. So you're just like, and the way you're smoking like little sticks. We used to call them spider legs, because they were like the size of a spider leg. Like whatever you scrape off your joint and it falls down on the ground, that's worth like $5 inside, you know? And so that was like gold to us, you know? And so I would basically smoke on top of my toilet bowl in the vent and then lay down on my bunk and listen to Hot 97 and play Sudoku, and that's how I spent my time in there. You know?
Wow. Well, I'm so sorry that's something that you had to experience. But on the other side, you have been able to build your own empire. And this recently, you opened one of the first dispensaries in New York City, Con Bud. But not without a lot of hurdles and obstacles. And there's a lot of fuckery happening in our cannabis industry, specifically here in our home state of New York. Tell me a little bit about some of the shit that you have to deal with and how you are overcoming these obstacles.
I always tell myself that everything is temporary when I get to those bad moments. And, with the cannabis space and waiting to receive notice, waiting to receive a license, waiting to hear back anything, you know, I lost a lot of sleep. You know, my family was stressed. I thought I was going to go bankrupt at one point, just because I'm putting all my money into this and you know, with the hopes that the state is promising something. And so I remember when we applied, so I started Comba, the brand. Now it's, I think, a little bit over 2 years now. And so I've just been like developing a brand, going out there, you know, to every regulatory meeting and OCM and stuff like that, and just pushing it as much as I can. And then when they allowed CARD to go forward, which meant like anybody that had a conviction for cannabis and also have a net profitable business for at least 2 years got to go first. And so, you know, I felt like that was written for me. I felt like, the, you know, the state gave me some type of reparations for all the wrongdoings that I've done in the past. So I felt very fortunate, you know, to submit my application. And then the waiting game was just, you know, you wanted to pull your hair out every single day, you know. And and so we developed like a small group chat in between Jason, Brittany, Jeremy, Roger from Mellow Times, Eric. And so we had like probably like 5-6 people on a little small group text, just like, you know, talking shit like we all do in the cannabis space. And like just trying to find different resources of like what is really happening, you know, and I'm sharing information with individuals that, you know, qualified upstate. So they're not really getting the full-on information because the OCM had a lot of meetings in downstate, and I attend them pretty much almost all of them when they were going down. So it was just a way to share resources. And then that group text went like quickly to like 30 people. And so we switched to WhatsApp and then went over to 100 people. And then we were like, all right, we need to build a whole channel and build association. So Nycro was born eventually. The New York Cannabis Retail Association. And so we started sharing a lot of resources with individuals just in the waiting game, and, you know, not hearing back from the state, and us that had come in early. I was able to build that relationship with like Damien and Axel and Chris Alexander and Tremaine, and, you know, and just, you know, really harass them as much as I can when I saw them in person. And they were able to give me more information that I was able to share to individuals that were in this association, so they could sleep well at night, because it was just treacherous when you didn't hear back and you're like, damn, I put all my life savings in this, I trusted the state, and nothing's happening. And then eventually in April, we were granted a provisional CARD license, and we were ecstatic. We threw an insane party at the DL, and we already had our eye in a spot that that we already, you know, we have right now, due to the fact that I was having conversations with Ruben McDaniels from DASNY, and I was saying like, hey, you know, what do you think this place qualifies? And they were like, oh, actually, that's one of our spots that we have in our portfolio. We're just negotiating with the landlord. And the landlord was saying that they're not offering much money. And so I had to outbid DASNY basically to, you know, obtain the space. And then the lawsuit came after I signed the lease, after the construction came, you know, and so we started building out the space probably like in mid-May. And we were looking forward to opening up on Labor Day. And then August 7th happened, where the injunction was placed and no one was able to move forward. And at that point, I remember reaching out to a few CARD applicants and telling them like, hey, we need to like hire a lawyer to, you know, intervene in this case and fight for us, because this is not looking good. And so some people were like, nah, this is going to blow over, nothing's going to happen, you know. And I was like, nah, we need to get a lawyer. And so I got a lawyer, and I got three other CARD applicants to like jump on board with, you know, this intervention. And so we got to intervene, and then we were fortunate enough that the judge only allowed us to intervene in the case, and we were able to pretty much like save the industry in the CARD program. Because if it was not because of Jorge Vasquez and, like, you know, and really picking up the fumble when the state fumbled it in like public with the in court and not really being able to answer any of the, you know, crazy dumb questions that everybody in the industry knew. You know, it was Jorge that really came and saved the day, and I felt like he gained a little bit of respect from the judge, and eventually we were able to fight and argue the fact that, hey, we spent so much money. I had to put $400,000 down to secure this location.
Damn.
You know, it was 10 months of rent. I'm paying $38,000 basically a month. And then all the money that we spent on the build out, you know, and so that was, it was horrific. And then we just signed a 10-year guaranteed lease, you know, so,
yeah.
So basically I remember, having a interview, I think it was with the city or one of those big articles. And I told him like, hey, we won't be able to move forward. I'm going to have to file for bankrupt, or I might have to sue the state for my money, you know? And it was crazy because the next day we heard the governor, I think, read that article because I got hit up by OCM and they were like, whoa, you don't have to do that. You know, we're going to figure this out. And, you know, fortunate enough, we were able to move forward on October 19th and open up our doors. And you know, even though we lost 2 months of rent, I'm one of the fortunate and blessed ones to operate now, because there's still people that are not able to operate due to this injunction. There was a lot of investors that pulled out. They just said it was just a flaky investment. You know, nobody really wanted to take the liability and the chance to you know, get into the New York market after that. And so it really shook up the industry in New York, and I was fortunate enough to move forward. And today we're operating 3 blocks away from my old weed spot, 3 blocks away from where my mom lives, in the same old apartment I grew up in, you know. And like, it's wild to see that I'm on Delancey, which is like Main Street in the Lower East Side for me.
You know? Word up. And you know what? I just want to tell you, we are all really proud of you. From one New Yorker to another, we are all really, really proud of you. And you have made something out of nothing. And that is so inspiring. But this doesn't come without some real shit, right? Within your neighborhood of the Lower East Side, you've got multiple illegal shops. And this isn't our OG trappers, right? This is not our OG trappers. Like, I'm not trying to... You know, I'm keeping it real. These are people that have popped up from other countries, smoke shops, bodegas that are, you know, selling packs and stizzy by the dozen. If you could say one thing to the OCM about the challenges that you're going through with your business, what would it be?
I think the biggest thing is that, you know, let me do what they do. You know, if I understand, I'm not going to knock anybody's hustle. They got into the market. They took advantage of the game. You know, I think if I would have been in the street at that point, I would have probably took advantage of it if I was in that same mentality. But I have no necessity to jump and risk my life, you know, because these people are risking their life. You know, they're getting robbed almost every single day, you know, and they're jeopardizing people's lives with what they're selling. You know, like, no one knows what they're spraying. All these spray terps are crazy right now. The other day I saw on Instagram, somebody sprayed like 24 karat gold. Did you see that? Like the 24 karat gold buds. I'm like, what the fuck? That shit look crazy. But I mean, one thing that I really want to stress to OCM is like, yo, let me do what I do. Let me market the way I want to market. Let me advertise. I understand you guys want to keep cannabis and keep all this out of children's eyes, but it's already in their eyes. Like, you know, there's, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of illegal smoke shops around my neighborhood, you know, that I have to compete. And it's extremely hard to compete with them because everybody thinks they're legal. Everybody thinks that they have, you know, great product and tested product. And the truth is that it's not, you know? And so that's just my argument. I don't respect a lot of them that have came from out of state, that came from other countries to take advantage of my neighborhood. You know, if it was, you know, people from the neighborhood that opened up shop, yo, I'll go over there and buy myself. You know what I mean? And there were shops. Now they're closed. They're not operating. But there were people from the hood that I grew up with that opened up a shop. It was unsuccessful, and they closed it down, you know, due to a horrible incident of somebody getting shot, you know. But there's no other shop. I don't really know of any other shop that has a local guy that's been trapping in the neighborhood, you know, that I know about, because they were not in the street. That opened up a shop is mostly all these generic people from, I don't know where the fuck they're from.
Yeah, all over. And they're selling bootleg, boof, converted D8 to D9, chemical on top of chemical. And let me tell you, you could buy cookies bags on my corner. The dude on the corner is selling cookies bags. You know what? It's like, man, it makes it a little hard. But you know what, Kaz, let's talk some shit. All right. Yeah. There's a lot of good, there's a lot of bad, and there's a lot of ugly. What's the best part of the industry? What's the good?
I think cannabis is brings peace, you know, and it brings a community of, you know, just people wanting peace. You know, every time we all get together, there's no trouble. You know, I remember when we opened up and we were supposed to do a block party, and then the NYPD tried to block us because they were like, "Oh, you're gonna have Funk Blaster Flex spin on the block. There's gonna be a riot over here. You know, there's gonna be a lot of people weed smoking." So they had this bad perception of like us, people that consume, you know, that we're gonna get all rowdy and turned up. You know, like that's some alcohol shit. Like, you know. People got to know, like, when we smoke bud, we chilling. We don't want to get into no shit. You know what I mean? We want to relax. We're going to have a good time, and we're going to have great energy around us. So, you know, that's the bad preconception notice that we have to deal with. But that's what I think.
Yeah. So we got the good, which is the plant, the perception and the stigma, which is, the plant that's the good, the stigma that's shit. But what's the ugliest shit you have seen in the cannabis industry? What is the fugly out there?
It's got to be these corporations. You know, these corporations, they even emailed me, Acreage emailed me like, "Hey, we want to put our products in this." I'm like, "Weren't you one of the motherfuckers that put the lawsuit together?" Like, are you kidding me? Are you crazy? Like, fuck, get the fuck out of here. You know, like, you know, and I remember sitting on stage a couple months ago with Dave from Union Square Travel Agency and Damien from the Upstate. You know, he's the head of Canny right now. And I remember one question was like, if, you know, the multi-state operator, these ROs come to you and they want to put their product in your store, what do you do it? And they was like, "Yeah, I would consider it." And I grabbed the mic from him. I was like, "Get the fuck out of here. I'm going to kick the motherfuckers out of my store." You know, like, it's just so fucked up and how greedy they are, you know, to really put the little underdog people that are really not affecting them, or it's not, we're not really main competition against them, like to block us just for more market share, you know? And a lot of people say like, "Hey, these disabled veterans put the lawsuit in and blah, blah, blah. It was not the, you know, these medical operators." Like, come on, that shit is bullshit. You know, these medical operators funded this whole lawsuit with the veterans. They saw a loophole and they thought that they had a great argument.
And that cost you 2 months, right? 2 months that you couldn't open, or longer, right?
Two months and revenue.
That's like revenue. That's 80 racks.
Yeah, that's only rent. That's not even the employees that are already hired, that I already had on payroll. That, you know, all the other light that is crazy, all the other shit. You know what I mean? So it's crazy amount of money that was lost. And yeah, I feel like we as an industry and people that are here as a community, I think we need to really block these people that really want to just be greedy, you know?
Yeah. There, you know, this whole podcast is, I'm here to showcase the innovators, you know, the technology part, which is important in our industry, but also the greed, because there is a lot of it and it is a dog eat dog world out there. Cause you have done so much and it is so impressive. And like I said, your community is behind you. And I know this because I am part of your community and I put myself out there and, you know, I listen to what people say and everybody's really, you know, impressed and excited. And where can we find you? Where are your businesses located? What's your IG handle? What's the best way if somebody wants to get in touch with you? If somebody wants to give you money, you know, we've got a lot of investors and things. I'm sure, you know, business doesn't just happen. We have to make it happen. So let us know where all of the people can find you.
Yeah, Conbud. So that's C-O-N as in con and B-U-D as in bud. So very simple, very short. I grabbed the URL as soon as I came up with the name. And it's conbud.com. If you want any delivery and store pickups, come to our store, 85 Delancey Street. We're on Instagram as the same. We're on TikTok as Conbud NYC as well. So, you know, come check us out, get great bud and give people second chances at the same time as well. So
thank you for all of that you do. And I just want to give a quick, huge shout out to my sponsor, the CWCBE. We're having our 10-year anniversary and conference happening at June 6th, 5th and 6th at the world famous Jacob Javits Center right here in our city of New York. And of course, we would love to have you participate and be part of the conference and attend. And at the CWCB Expo, cannabis means business. So thank you so much again for being my guest. And we are all rooting for you and sending you so much prosperity and abundance at Conbud and Conbody.
Thank you. Thank you, Kim. I appreciate the opportunity. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.